Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Woo-hoo. Kick up. Kick is on the way.
It's good. It's good. It's good. That a Vinatieri. Boom to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
NFL Week 2 edition of Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House, my company, here on September 20th. And yes, indeed, Week 2 is now complete in the books. Lock it up. Boy, what a way to end it last night. We're going to talk a little bit about that Monday night football game from last evening. But I'll tell you something. Week 2 here... there were a few upsets. We'll talk about a couple of those. But boy, oh boy, more, you know, kind of team-changing injuries as we go forward here and early on in the season. Some of those injuries, still question marks as to whether, in fact, some players will be able to play this week, some out for the entire season. But I'll tell you something. Take a look at those Pittsburgh Steelers going 2-0, and another incredible performance. Well, you want me to say Big Ben? You want me to say Ben Roethlisberger? No, how about D'Angelo Williams? We're going to be taking a look at that Steelers game tonight. Cleveland Browns? Well, I got to tell you something. I watched a little bit of that game, particularly early on. I don't know why, but I was checking it out. I might have had a fantasy interest there. Worked out pretty well for me, I think. Cleveland Browns were just good enough to lose. Holy smokes, they had a 20-2 lead and blew it. Yeah, well, it's the Cleveland Browns. Hey, New England Patriots have gone 2-0 so far, and that's without Tom Brady. Yeah, 2-0. But boy, they lost Jimmy Garoppolo. Now what do they do? Well, Belichick's not sure. He says he's not a doctor. Yeah, that's what Bill Belichick said today. People were asking him, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm not a doctor. Carson Wentz, Philadelphia Eagles, rookie quarterback, getting accolades all across, well, not just Philadelphia. How about across the nation? And after last night's game in Chicago, setting NFL rookie quarterback records. Things that have never been done before by a rookie quarterback. Really, absolutely amazing. And I got to ask this question. What in the hell is wrong with the Seattle Seahawks? One touchdown in just two games. What in the world is wrong with Seattle? Some people seem to think that, hey, nobody really should be surprised with what the Seahawks are doing. they're just showing exactly what really they have been all along, which is a very good defensive team that's been able to compensate on offense. Well, we're going to touch on the Seattle Seahawks here, and perhaps maybe even pretty early here. If anybody wants to jump in with us here, 90 minutes here of just taking a look at what happened on the field in week two as we're, well, just 48 hours away from week three already beginning. If you want to jump in with us, it's 347-826-9964. Give us a call. 347-826-9964. We'd love to hear what is on your mind with your team or any others that we might be talking about here. Otherwise, if you want, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room here at Blog Talk Radio, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. At Frat House Mike is how you can get me on Twitter. Joining us, as always, from Frat House Dewey on vacation, but hey, NFL Week 2 is so important. I had to be here. I got Brandon alongside of me. Brandon, how we doing tonight?
Yes, I'm doing good. Doing good. Just got done eating my beach pizza, and I'm ready to rock.
There you go. Sounds good. Got to ask you, we weren't together this past weekend, which doesn't happen too often during the NFL football seasons. But one, two, three things, perhaps maybe that you saw or were able to track as you were in and about doing vacationing sorts of things. One, two, three things, perhaps maybe that jumped out at you about week two. Anything in particular that you can think of? Something maybe perhaps that shocked you, surprised you, made you happy, whatever.
Well, I will say this. As I was watching my New England Patriots on the beach, streaming to my iPad, almost every play of the game. Yep.
Nice.
I linked it to my phone, and Sunday Ticket streamed without a hitch. I saw just about every play of the game, and I was really impressed with Garoppolo up until he got hurt, but more so with LeGarrette Blount. I don't know where LeGarrette Blount came from, but so far this year, in two games, I do believe he's had two 100-yard rushing games and a couple of touchdowns. So, you know what? Tom Brady may be missing, but the Patriots offense just keeps finding a way. And even after Garoppolo got hurt, Brissett didn't look bad. He didn't look horrible. So, yeah. You know what? It is what it is. I read a report, and I was talking to you a little bit about a pre-show. I did find it. Adam Schefter was the one who reported that. Apparently, they're going to go with Julian Edelman, the wide receiver, as their backup quarterback to Brissett this week because they don't feel they can bring anybody in off the street up to speed in time to be better than Edelman. Edelman knows the offense, and that's just the way they're going this week.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, Brandon, we have seen Edelman in a couple of gadget plays over the past couple of seasons.
And you got to remember, they do play Thursday against Houston. So the time to ramp up somebody new is very limited, really. Especially if you think about it, by NFL rule, all the players get Tuesday off. So, I mean, if you brought somebody in even today or Monday for tryouts, you know, you wouldn't have them today. Wednesday is your last walkthrough and your game's Thursday. What are you going to do with somebody new? So it actually makes sense, really. Now, I don't know, depending how, you know, I heard that Garoppolo has an AC joint sprain. Those kind of things are usually, you know, 4 to 6 week injuries. So we may just see Brissett and hope he don't get hurt till Brady's ready. And then Brissett will back up Brady till Garoppolo is ready.
Interestingly, there was an article I came across today talking about Jacoby Brissett, and he was selected, excuse me, ahead of Dak Prescott by the New England Patriots. And the Patriots were never sold on Prescott at all. Now, you know, Prescott's been – or Dak Prescott has been the – kind of, I guess before Carson Wentz, he was kind of the wonder kid of the NFL all through preseason and what have you. And even early on for the first two games that he has played, he's kind of been the hey, boy, oh boy, this Dak. And I admit it. I drank the Kool-Aid. But
well, he's 1-1 though. That's not bad for a rookie.
Absolutely not. And don't.
And if it wouldn't have been for like
I'm
a brain cramp,
yeah.
If it wouldn't have been for a brain cramp on some of his receivers, he
absolutely
had a chance
right.
to be 2-0.
Absolutely right. And I'm not saying anything bad about him at all. I mean, you know, as people know here, you know, he's my fantasy bench quarterback, with the potential of him being perhaps maybe a keeper for next season. But what I'm pointing out is that this one particular article said, Patriots said, Jacoby Brissett, the diamond in the rough quarterback in this draft. That's what they said. And I'll tell you something. I saw quite a few of Jacoby Brissett's college performances, and he's a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback. I don't think that the Patriots really necessarily have to lose any sleep over it. You know, let's hope that nothing happens come Thursday night that, you know, he would go down, because I don't think anybody really wants to test the waters with Julian Edelman.
It takes a weapon out too. Think about that.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you got Edelman at quarterback, he's not playing receiver. He can't play both positions. So, you know, that immediately weakens you to your, you know, your next receiver. And then on multiple receiver plays, you're really down. So, you know, and with Gronk being maybe out, not sure yet, you know what I mean? That kind of thing, you know, you really don't want to get to have an Edelman play quarterback. You really don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Exactly right. Real quick, anything else besides, you know, I guess, the surprising play of Garoppolo. And I got to tell you, I, you know, seeing that first quarter, second quarter performance of Garoppolo, my God almighty, absolutely precision. He was firing those passes into the end zone, wasn't he?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The only other thing that really stands out, I mean, you know, I didn't see as many games as I normally see when I'm watching at the frat house, obviously.
Right.
We have a pretty good setup there with, you know, three TVs going, so we can monitor and watch just about everything if we flip channels around. So, but I will say I was a really, surprised at Sam Bradford and the Vikings upsetting the Packers on Sunday Night Football. I mean, that game, not only did Bradford not cost them the game, he made plays when he had to, that defense kept Aaron Rodgers in check. And he did not look like he was having a bad game. He just didn't have a great game because that defense played really well.
Yeah.
I think the Minnesota Vikings, you know, they may have lost the first week because they didn't, you know, they didn't have enough time to get Bradford going. But I'll tell you what, hey, you know, Adrian Peterson hurt or not hurt, I don't know that matters because he didn't do that much, you know, prior to, you know, getting hurt. So, you know, their defense, surprised me is how good they were, especially, you know, against a team that, you know, Aaron Rodgers has all his weapons back. Eddie Lacy looks good. You know, they weren't missing anybody, and they put up 16 points. That's it. Against
Minnesota,
the Vikings, so.
Minnesota actually won week one, so they're now 2-0.
Oh, did they win? Okay.
Yes, they're 2-0 in the NFC North.
I thought they lost to Oakland. That's right.
And,
they beat Oakland at the last minute.
Correct. And Green Bay and Detroit are 1-1. So,
yep.
Look
at that. Sam Bradford, you know, can't be upset about leaving a 2-0 team when he's playing for a 2-0 team. So, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I give a little more credit to the defense, as you point out, than I would to Sam Bradford.
The other game I watched, but I'll save because we're going to do that game, was the Eagles Bears last night. We watched all that game. So
yep,
I saw some football, even though I'm on vacation. So I did catch a few games. I didn't jump around, obviously, on Sunday when I was watching the Patriots. I watched the Patriots, so I didn't want to mess with my connection because, you know, you're sitting there on the beach, you know, watching the ocean and the football at the same time. You don't, you know, I'm not messing with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And they were playing your hated Dolphins. So, you know, it was a good inner division matchup there. Let me jump over to this one though, and I recognize that you're, you know, kind of in and out of things on vacation there for the past couple of days.
I did see some highlights though, you know, in pregame shows and stuff. So I'm not like totally out of it.
Well, let me hit you with this one early, and we'll knock this one off the agenda. Because I got to be honest with you, it's befuddling to me. I'm going to be perfectly blunt. The Seattle Seahawks, and I did not watch this game. I don't think anybody on Sunday should have watched this game. Nobody should have had to have watched this game because it looks like it was absolutely just a horrible, horrible game. The Seattle Seahawks lost on Sunday to the Los Angeles Rams. Perhaps maybe one of the worst teams in the NFL. The way I rank the worst teams right now, it's a toss-up, in my opinion, between amongst the Browns, Rams, and Bears. They lost 9-3. There wasn't a single touchdown scored in this game by either team. And over the past 2 weeks, the Seattle Seahawks have only scored one touchdown. And that, excuse me, was a fourth quarter touchdown from Russell Wilson to Baldwin with 31 seconds remaining on the clock in the fourth quarter in week one. There's been no offense from Seattle. What in the world is going on with this team? What do you make of it? Is Marshawn Lynch hurting them that badly?
Well, if you remember, Marshawn Lynch was the bulk of their offense. They never had what you would consider a very proficient passing game prior to that. And you take, you know, somebody like Marshawn Lynch out of the equation, they can key on the receivers even more. Thomas Rawls has been dinged up, you know, starting the season as the beginning of the year. So they don't even have a quote unquote starting running back at this, you know, moment in time. So what do you do? You know, as an opposing defense, you're going to, you know, key on the other weapons, the Doug Baldwins, the Jimmy Grahams, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I think that's the pickle they're in. I don't think they're that talented of an offensive team. And I think their defense has been diluted by free agency over the last couple of weeks or years rather. So, you know, what do you do at this point? You know, you got to go with something. You got to go with what you got. But, you know, at this point, you know, I got to think they're almost in a sort of rebuild mode. To an extent.
Yeah, something. I'm not quite sure. You take a look up and down the NFC West right now. It's funny because that NFC West might take over as the new, I guess, NFC South or NFC East. Every single team over there is 1-1 right now. Of course, we're only into week two. But, you know, Arizona, I would think, is really the only team in there that might be worth this point right now based on what we've seen, eyeball test. Arizona might be the only team that you could give any credibility to. I mean, because you can't give any credibility whatsoever to the Seattle Seahawks until they get fixed, whatever the hell is their problem.
No, I agree with you there. I think that, and the Rams are absolutely horrible, and they're going to stay horrible for a while, at least till their new stadium's built. I think they'll start spending some money and try to be good. And the 49ers are just whatever they are, you know. We're still trying to figure that part out.
And you're not going to believe this. I actually listed it as one of our possible picks for Thursday night. And the only reason I did list it is because the betting line on this game just blew me away. The 49ers, the San Francisco 49ers, will be in Seattle to play the Seahawks on Sunday afternoon. Seattle right now is a 10-point favorite. How in the world can you come up with a 10-point favorite for that team when they have only scored 15 points in the past 2 weeks. That's all they've scored. It blows
Who's
me
that?
Away.
Seattle? Seattle
is the favorite.
Yeah, Seattle has only scored 15 over the 49ers.
Yes.
Wow.
15 points. That's all they have scored in the past 2 weeks. And yet Seattle is a 10-point favorite against the 49ers. Now, I'll tell you something. You want to talk about not giving any respect whatsoever to Chip Kelly and the 49ers. I think that's a little bit ridiculous, which is why I, like I said, that's why I threw that out as an option for us to be making picks on for Thursday night, is because I just think that that line is completely out of whack. Completely out of whack. I'd make Seattle maybe a 4-point favorite. Maybe a 4-point favorite. I might only make them a 3-point home favorite.
Is the game in Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I give them at least 3 or 4 because they have a pretty good home. They do pretty well at home with their fan base. I don't know how loud that fan base is gonna be with the way they started the year though. I mean, you know what? A lot of these fan bases get juiced off their team, you know, and I guess what? Seattle's 1-1, so they're not out of anything yet, but they're not.
Nope.
They're certainly not looking, you know, like, you know, they were just Super Bowl winners 2 years ago.
No, they are
they
not.
They certainly don't look like that.
Absolutely not. And I'm telling you, I just don't know what to make of it. I mean, yes, like you say, we have known for some time that they have not been necessarily an offensive juggernaut, that they're a defensively built team, bottom line. But I mean, 15 points in two games. Wow. That's shocking. That's shocking. All right, anyhow, let's get over and take a look at – this was a game, Brandon, that we had made our picks on. This was one of the four games we made our picks on last Thursday night, and that was the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. Every one of us picked the Steelers, and every one of us was correct. Steelers won that game 24-16. Got to point out – Big Ben was okay, 19-37, 259 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions. But you got to go to, again, second week in a row, you got to go to D'Angelo Williams, 32 carries, 94 yards, and then throw in his 4 receptions, 38 yards and a touchdown. And what are you looking at there?
Yep.
You're looking at, 130-plus all-purpose yards.
Yep.
Who the heck? I mean, who needs Le'Veon Bell? Honest to God. D'Angelo Williams, and we talked about this a little bit last week, he's 33 years old, which isn't old. I mean, you know, for God's sake, that's not old.
For a running back, but it is. Absolutely
exactly
is for
right.
a running back.
Exactly right. You know, 33 on its by itself is not old, but 33
no.
for a running back, you know, as you point out, running backs take a beating, and my goodness, what this Steelers team, and, you know, this is the next team that the Eagles are going to have to play on Sunday afternoon. I'll tell you, from what I've seen from this Steelers team in the first 2 weeks, it's no wonder that some places, some power rankings, actually have the Pittsburgh Steelers, believe it or not, after 2 weeks, ranked number one, Brandon. Some power rankings have them ranked number one. This kind of went the way we kind of thought it was going to go, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can argue with that if they do have the Steelers as number one. I think, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, is what they are. They're a good team, and they're only going to get better when Le'Veon Bell's ready to go. I haven't seen anything as far as, you know, when he's going to be ready to go, but I got to think it's going to be coming soon. I think it'll be welcome because, you know, D'Angelo Williams, you just pointed out, 33 years old, had 36 touches in that game between running and receiving. That's a big workload for anybody. You know what I mean? Let alone a 33-year-old running back. So, you know, I think it'd be good, you know, for, you know, get Le'Veon Bell in to do the grunt work, and then you bring D'Angelo in as third down back. He can clearly catch out of the backfield, you know, scored a touchdown this week. And I think that just makes them an even more dynamic offense. You know what I mean?
Yep. Le'Veon Bell, so, I believe, is scheduled to be game four, isn't it? Because
okay.
he's serving a suspension, is what it is.
Well, he's also coming off an injury from last season, too. So I don't know. Yeah, he may be suspended for the first four, but is he going to be ready to go then? Because remember, he had a season-ending injury in about mid-season last, you know, and I think it was, you know, a pretty severe one. So I don't know what his, you know, medical would be. I haven't heard. They're probably not saying much because he is suspended, so maybe that's why. Maybe we'll just wait and see what.
Wait and see, yeah.
You know, when the suspension's over, then we'll get injury reports.
Yeah, I mean, hard to believe. I mean, we're heading into, I mean, like I said, 48 hours from now, we're heading into week three. Already week three.
Mm-hmm.
So, this game between Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, I guess the observation I came away from it a little bit, and I don't know if it's more praise to Pittsburgh. Maybe that's what it should be. Maybe I should just be saying, well, hey, this is a Pittsburgh team that actually looks like they're really together. You know, they do seem to be an improved team over what we saw even last year. Of course, we had all the injuries at different times with Ben Roethlisberger last year, but even the year before that as well. Maybe that's what it is. But I go back over to Cincinnati. For the moment right now, Brandon, Cincinnati does not look like the same Cincinnati we saw last year, at least so far through two games. Well, I mean, I don't know what you make of that one or whether you concur or not.
Both weeks we had Andy Dalton with 350-plus yards passing, you know, and touchdowns. Again, as I pointed out in our show last week, the running backs are non-existent. For between Hill and Bernard, they had 16 carries for about 40 yards, 39 yards. You know, Andy Dalton, they, you know, had, you know, two, I guess, where he was running for his life or something, but whatever. But, you know, they have no running game. I don't know what happened to Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. I mean, Giovanni Bernard had a pretty awesome day from the passing aspect. I mean, he had 9 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, but nothing on the ground. And they got to get – they got to get that balance back to that offense, or it's not going to, you know, AJ Green and Dalton can be as good as they want, but you got to have some kind of balance. You know what I mean? I think that's what they're missing right now. Plus, you know, they did play Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh's, you know, a pretty solid team. You're not talking about, you know, a lot of people are, you know, as you just pointed out, are putting them as the number one power ranked team. So that's saying a lot right there.
Yeah.
You know, you could be, they could be considered the hottest team right now in football.
And it might explain why, you know, when you take a look at the receiving performance for the Cincinnati Bengals, it might explain why Giovanni Bernard is leading the list in receiving 9 receptions with 100 yards. Because it might have been a situation where that Pittsburgh run defense just shut Cincinnati down. So they recognize, hey, there's no way we're going to be able to run on this team. We're going to have to, you know, Andy, you're going to have to throw is what you're going to have to do. And that's exactly what he ended up doing, putting the ball in the air 54 times. I hear the kind of thing you're talking about with, you know, the yardage production from Dalton. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he leads the league. Yes, he does right now. He leads the league in quarterbacks in yardage, 732 yards over the first two games. But you would think that you can't, as you point out, you can't build a team. You can't build a season sustainable team in that fashion. It's not going to work.
Not with that running that bad. In other words,
right.
If they get half a game, half a running back game, you know, where they get, you know, 60 or 70 yards, you know, maybe a rushing touchdown at the goal line, something like that, you know, to at least keep the defense honest. But they're not even – I mean, these 2 weeks of rushing, I don't think they have 100 yards rushing yet in two games, because I think last week's numbers were about the same as what we're looking at this week. You know, so, you know, as a team, that's pathetic.
Yeah. Yep. All right,
I mean, D'Angelo Williams, you know, on the other side had 32 carries for 94 yards. That may be more than the Bengals have as a team through two games.
For two weeks. Yep.
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 So, you know, you got to have a little bit of a running threat. I'm not saying you need to have, you know, but I don't know where they went last year, those same two running backs were very potent. I mean, 1 week it'd be one of them. The next week it'd be the other. You know, they had a, you know, back and forth kind of deal. Some weeks they both put up some decent yards, and this year they're basically both non-existent, and I don't know why.
Yeah, and interestingly, I was just gonna, you know, you're bringing up D'Angelo Williams and his numbers, and I've talked about it here from last week and also then from this week. D'Angelo Williams, after just 2 weeks, right now, leading all in the NFL in rushing yards, 237.
Yep, that's not surprising.
237 yards in two games. Just an aside, you know, it's funny because I'm looking at the list of leading rushers right now in the NFL. Number two and number three, who's number two, Brandon? Matt Forte, 196 yards. Who is number three? Isaiah Crowell of the Cleveland Browns, 195. Who are my two starting quarterbacks of my fantasy team? Matt Forte and Isaiah.
Yeah, there you go.
And Isaiah Crowell, yep, are my two leading, are my two starting running backs. So it was funny because you were talking about your fantasy team and how your running back situation was not very good. For years and years and years, I have always gone in and running back has been a position that I have kind of skimped on a little bit. I was never very strong at the running back position. I always complained about it about halfway through the season. So far right now, doing pretty well. I'll knock on wood that neither one of them get injured. So,
right.
But
I have Thomas Rawls and Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's doing pretty good so far. I'm not going to complain about his output. It's just Rawls is, you know, I don't know. I know he's, you know, nursing some kind of injury, ankle injury of some sort, but, you know, Seattle's got to come up with some kind of offense at some point, you would think, right? I mean, come on, they can't just be that bad.
Yeah, you would think Seattle, and well, of course, now we're talking about, you know, Cincinnati's got to address their rushing game, their ground game, somehow or another. They got to get these guys on track. Again, this week, I might just give them a pass and say they came up against that Steelers rush defense.
Right.
You know, that might have been the case. Going to be interesting because, if I'm not mistaken, I think we saw Ryan Matthews last night actually get two touchdowns for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if the Eagles can expect to see that sort of thing against the Steelers next week.
Oh, Ryan Matthews has looked good so far this year, though. You know,
sure, but as we're seeing, it's going to be tough to run the ball on the Steelers. That's
right.
That's my point. As we're seeing from this Cincinnati game. So, all right, where are we going? I wanted to touch on it. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it because I know this was not a game that even if you had extra time, this wasn't a game that you would have watched. I did watch a little bit of it, as I pointed out, mostly because of Isaiah Crowell. Holy smokes, the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. Now, this game started out like, you know, I never expected to see, you know, Crowell, okay, yeah, sure, I'm going to root for him and what have you, but, you know, did I pick the Cleveland Browns to win this game? Hell no. Who would? Cleveland Browns got out to a 20-2 first quarter lead in this game. And Isaiah Crowell ended up with 133 yards on the ground and a touchdown. I think that touchdown was 85 yards long, which really bolstered my fantasy numbers, obviously. I'm going to tell you right now, I really thought for the longest time that there was no way that Baltimore could come back in this game. It was 20-2 after the first quarter. It was 20-12 at halftime, and it was 20-19 at the end of the third quarter. So the Baltimore Ravens are still going into the fourth quarter behind before they ultimately get 6 points in the fourth quarter and win the game 20-25. Cleveland never scored another point again after the first quarter. I will say this. Josh McCown in the first quarter and even in the first half, I thought looked really good. In fact, I think he looked better than RG3 did for most of the game the first week against the Philadelphia Eagles. Josh McCown was 20 of 33 for 260 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions, and an 80.4 QB rating. Absolutely incredible. I mean, look, I know it's the Cleveland Browns, and like I said, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it. But to allow a team to come back from that big a deficit and never score another point again after the first quarter, I think it's almost criminal.
Well, yeah. You would think they should be better at protecting a lead than that. Baltimore's got a pretty good team. I mean, Flacco's not a bad quarterback. I like him better than you do. Coming off an injury, putting up 300-yard game, a little still throwing some interceptions, but that's always been Flacco. He can't seem to not throw a few of those. But, you know, just looking at the stats, I mean, it looked like a pretty even game, you know, for the most part. I think, like you had pointed out, Crowell, I think the Browns had a little better running attack, obviously. But, you know, I think Cleveland's just what they are. I think they're a bad team.
Yeah.
And I think Baltimore's a better team. I don't know that they're good enough to compete with Pittsburgh, you know, for the division when it's all said and done. But, you know, injuries could change that, you know. Division games are always played tough, we've said before. So, you know, we'll see how the Ravens hold up anyway, moving forward.
Well, you know, it would have been interesting to see Cleveland actually pull the upset off and whether that would have, I don't know, given them a little bit of spark. But I think losing that game, particularly in the manner that they did, like you, I think it's going to be a very long season for the Cleveland Browns and their fans again. As I pointed out, I really do believe that the three worst teams in this league are the Browns, the Bears, and the Rams. And, well, we talked about it before, the Saints might be rivaling in there as well somewhere. Just a shocker, at least on the front end of that game. Like I said, I did watch a little bit of it. I think I was tuning out by around halftime, though. I got to be honest. As most people
wasn't compelling enough to hold your interest there.
You know, even with a fantasy running back in there, yeah. I couldn't hang in. I couldn't hang in for the long term on that one. Too many other good things happening. Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Redskins. This was one of our games that we had on our pick list for last Thursday night on the Frat House Sports Show. Dallas Cowboys came away with a win, 27-23. And I got to be honest with you, I think, and I said it, I forget where I said it. I don't remember if I said it on Thursday night or whether I said it last Tuesday night. But of all the NFC East teams that I have watched so far this season, and I've had my opportunities to watch four of them at some length. The Washington Redskins, to me, are the least impressive of the four. The Dallas Cowboys last week, let's take a look at Dak Prescott for a moment. 22 of 30, 292 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So second week in a row, if I'm not mistaken, he's not had a touchdown yet.
He did have a rushing touchdown.
Not one in the air, though. Yeah, right. Nonetheless, though, he had 103.8 QB rating coming away from the Washington game. As I pointed out, Washington won that by 4 points. Kirk Cousins over on the other side was 28 of 46, 364 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and an 84 QB rating. What do you make so far early on of the Dallas Cowboys? Let's do this. Let's leave the Eagles out of the equation for a moment, because as you pointed out, we will be talking about them here momentarily. What do you make of this Dallas Cowboys team when it comes in relation to, say, the performances we've seen for the first 2 weeks from the New York Giants?
Well, Dallas can't complain. You know, Tony Romo's out injured. Dak Prescott's a rookie quarterback who wasn't, you know, a first-round pick. He certainly wasn't even a, you know, he wasn't, you know, like the Eagles Wentz at the second overall. So, you know, he's certainly not hurt them. I mean, I think his passing percentage the first week was a little, you know, shaky, quite a few incomplete passes, but he's not costing them games. I think Dallas is, you know, they got a rookie running back, Ezekiel Elliott, who's looking pretty good as well. So, you know, Dez Bryant. I think they got, you know, if they can avoid stupid mistakes like week one, I think they could be a solid team. I'm really surprised, you know, looking at this game at how bad Washington is. I personally thought they were going to be the best team in the East. I'm clearly wrong because they look horrible. I mean, even Kirk Cousins, his numbers are not terrible. I mean, but I don't know why they're not, you know, his teammates are openly questioning him in the media. I mean, he threw for, you know, he's 364 yards. He only had one touchdown and one interception. I don't know why his teammates are griping about him. It doesn't.
Are they
seem...
really? I haven't. I missed that.
There was a little bit at post game apparently, that, you know, some of the post game comments that some of his teammates were grousing about Cousins, and I don't know. I don't know what it was all about. I did see that, you know, he was asked today, and he said, "No, I'm not. I don't think anything of it. It's not a big deal." So we'll see. I just thought they were going to be a better team. I really did. I thought the Redskins were going to be the, you know, like the team to beat in the East. And so far you got the Eagles and Giants at 2-0 and Dallas at 1-1 and them at 0-2 in the basement. So I don't, yeah. And they're not looking good at 0-2. I mean,
no, no. So, and that's, you know, the thing. That's the thing that I'm taking away from the first 2 weeks is that, as I pointed out, I've had a chance to watch and usually as we do, I mean, that's just the nature of the way Frat House Sports works here. We have a tendency to get a chance to see a lot of the NFC East teams. And I am completely unimpressed with the Washington Redskins. Now, having said that, I will say this. I was completely unimpressed with them last year. I thought that they got very lucky winning the NFC East. You know, we've talked about the NFC East. We talked about it a lot last year. That was a situation of attrition. Nobody really wanted to win. Nobody wanted to win that division. And so it was left to whoever, you know, which was going to be the last team standing. And it turned out to be Washington. They got the short straw and ended up being the winners. Good for them. But I think as we have seen from this NFC East division, which is absolutely bizarre, I forget exactly what the statistic is, but I know there have been graphics out there about it, that I think it's 11 seasons now. No team in the NFC East has won this division back-to-back in over 11 seasons. It's always a different team. And I don't think you're going to see the Washington Redskins repeating as the NFC East champions again. I guess which is why I brought up the New York Giants, Brandon, and again, leaving the Eagles out of it. Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants right now, if you had to pick one of those two to win this division, which one do you think is better after only 2 weeks into the season?
Well, that's a tough call. I haven't seen too much of the Giants. I like the Cowboys' youth. I like their, you know, their rookies are playing really well. You know, the Giants, this week they beat the Saints by 3. That doesn't really impress me, I'll be honest. I wasn't impressed with the Giants going into the season. You know, Dallas, I think Dallas has way more upside, for sure, you know, long term. And if they continue to grow as the season goes on, you know, if Prescott and Elliott keep, you know, keep playing the way they have been and maybe even improve a little in their games, you might see them, you know, right there, you know. I don't know. It depends. It depends what, you know, if the Giants can keep it up and the Eagles can keep it up. And, you know, it's still early, but, you know, I like what I've seen out of Dallas. I think Dallas is a bit surprising. When you, you know, if you look at it on paper before the season starts, you got a rookie running back, you got your starter going down and you're going with your rookie quarterback. It's like, oh boy, this is going to be a long year. But then you look at, you know, how they performed in preseason, and so far in two games, they haven't really cost their team. None of the rookies have anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dallas, I kind of think Dallas is going to be higher than the Giants when it's all said and done. To answer that question, I think the Giants, I don't know if they're going to sustain what their, you know, what their record shows right now. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I might agree with you. And, you know, it'll be interesting once we get Tony Romo back, how this team, this Dallas team, reacts to all of that.
Even if Tony Romo comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
right.
What if Prescott has them at like 6-2 or, you know, whatever, however number of games they have, you know, as a record when Tony's ready? Do you switch it? Do you pull the string?
You know, that's a great question.
I don't know that you do.
That's a great question. You know, if their coach was Bill Belichick, he would just simply roll his eyes at you.
Well, I think even Bill Belichick would. You can't look at Tony Romo and Tom Brady in the same. I'm sorry, Tony Romo can't stay healthy.
All right. I got you. Except that is your franchise quarterback for the moment.
But you have a first round. You have a young, what's he, a second or third round pick? Prescott.
Third, I think, wasn't he?
Okay. Yeah, I think he was. Well, yeah, if he was picked there for the Patriots, pick Brissett, yes. Because Brissett was the third round pick this year.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know.
There was a lot of grousing. There was a lot of grousing last week that Dez Bryant didn't get enough action, that he didn't seem to be very fluid in the game from last week. As you pointed out, that seemed to be somewhat corrected this past week against the Washington Redskins. Dak Prescott getting 7 receptions to him for 102 yards. So, and a longest of 21. One of the quick conversations, Brett, I just want to bring up one of the quick conversations, obviously coming off of the Carson Wentz performance from last night, that was held here in Philadelphia today. And one that's kind of dear, but close to my heart a little bit. The comparison between the rookie quarterback Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. Which one after two games is actually the better quarterback? Dak Prescott right now is ranked number 18, believe it or not, in the league. That's pretty darn good. He's the 18th ranked quarterback. Now, it's ranking based on yardage. So 18th ranked quarterback based on yardage at 519 yards, 62.7 completion rate, which is actually better than Cam Newton so far. Carson Wentz, currently ranked the 23rd quarterback in the league on yardage, 468 yards, 60.6 completion rate. Carson Wentz, however, has three touchdowns. Dak Prescott has zero. Both have no interceptions. Both quarterbacks, zero interceptions. Dak Prescott, an 83.1 QB rating. Carson Wentz, 94.1. Now, while the stats would perhaps maybe favor Dak Prescott, Brandon, the eye test, I think the eye test for me, and I'm trying not to be a homer, eye test for me goes to Carson Wentz. Where would you drop it?
Oh, I agree. Carson Wentz has looked awesome. I mean, his stats could have even been better last night. As we were talking pre-show a little bit, there were a couple balls he threw, long, deep balls, put them where they were, you know, right on the receiver's hands, and they dropped the ball. I mean, you can't argue with Carson Wentz at this point. I'm sorry. He's the man right now, at least early. He's looking really good, and I'll be honest with you, the Eagles never really struck me as a, you know, having a great receiver core, but, you know, he's still putting up decent numbers with them, so can't argue with that.
And, you know, one of the other things that's been praised about, and I, maybe I'm jumping the gun here a little bit because we really haven't gotten to the Eagles game, but one of the things that has been praised a bit, and I, you know, you and I were both, well, let's put it this way, highly incredulous, very skeptical, and perhaps maybe even a bit of naysayers when it came to the elevation of Doug Peterson as the coach. And yet, a lot of praise has been heaped upon Doug Peterson so far for the two game plans that we've gone against. Now, mind you, it has been against the Cleveland Browns, as I pointed out, perhaps maybe the one of the worst teams in the league, and the Chicago Bears, perhaps one of the worst teams in the league. So, you know, we've yet to get a real test. This week will be a real test against Pittsburgh, but nonetheless, you got to like what you're seeing from Doug Peterson as far as putting Carson Wentz in winning situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, they pointed it out. And now, last night's broadcast, you're going to get a little bit of favoritism with Gruden, who's an Andy Reid colleague. They both came from the, you know, the old Mike Holmgren Green
yep.
Bay coaching staff. But he was saying, oh, well, Peterson is like Andy Reid 2.0. I mean, it looks, you know, just like Andy Reid's offense, even better. So, yeah, you know what? It is what it is. He's doing okay, you know?
Yeah. I think it's better. I think it's better than Andy Reid.
Well, that could be personnel, too. Yeah.
Well, obviously it is. I mean, you have to tailor, get to tailor to the personnel you've got.
Certainly.
All right. No, I hear you, and I, you know, I'm not going to. It's still too early to go.
Agreed. Calling him 3-2-0. I mean, come on. Two games they played, Cleveland and Chicago. I mean, we were just talking about them as being amongst the worst in the league. So, you know what, let's wait till he gets to play Dallas and the New York Giants, you know, and some of the other better teams they have matchups, you know, Pittsburgh coming up this week. You know, let's see what they look like there before we start, you know, getting too crazy. I'm not going to say I don't like what I've seen. I thought Wentz has played very well. I think he looks like he's going to be, you know, the quarterback of the future for the Eagles, for sure, at least in two games. It's hard to say that, you know, in two games, but, you know, so far you got to like what you see if you're an Eagles fan.
Just stay healthy. That's all. Just stay healthy. You know,
That's anybody in the league. I mean, I just read Jay Cutler has a cast on his right hand. He apparently, or his, maybe it's his left hand. He has his thumb from last night.
Yep.
Yeah. He left the game, and apparently it's broke. Yep. He has a cast. I guess that was, I do believe that was his non-throwing hand.
Second week in a row, a quarterback goes out of an Eagles game with damage, you know. Not that I'm wishing it on any quarterback, obviously, but just something to keep in mind. You know, Eagles defense, holy smokes. All right, let's get over and let's take a look at that New England Patriots game. You saw a lot of it. I saw a good deal of it, Brandon, mostly in the first half. I was moving around a lot. I mean, right. I had things shifting constantly here on Sunday. So you saw the entire game. New England wins it 31-20. Thank God we didn't have the hype about Miami coming into this season quite the way that we did last year, because that team right now is 0-2, and they look like they're going to be cellar dwellers again. But big story out of that game, of course, as we pointed out, the loss of Garoppolo, 18-26, 234 yards, 3 touchdowns, 130.8 QB rating. I had tweeted out at one point, Patriots fans, who needs Tom Brady? I tweeted that. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and then the next play he got hurt.
It might have been the next play. Jacoby Brissett comes in. He's 6 of 9, as you pointed out. Not terrible. 92 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs, and a 100.2 QB rating for that short period of time that he was in. You're talking about LeGarrette Blount. Holy smokes, 29 carries. 123 yards, 2 touchdowns, and, you know, you go, honest to God, Brandon, I got to ask the question, who needs Tom Brady? Look at these numbers receiving. Martellus Bennett, 114, Julian Edelman, 76, Danny Amendola had 2 touchdowns and 50 yards. Who needs Tom Brady, honest to God, if, in fact, Jimmy Garoppolo is that good? And I got to tell you, as I pointed out, what I saw in the first half, he was firing on all cylinders, almost with the precision of Tom Brady. Might have been very, very close. Really, really impressive, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's food for thought for the coaching staff. I mean, you know, Brady is getting up there in age, and they're going to have to make a decision at some point on Garoppolo. This is his third season. They only have him for one more under contract. So they either need to, you know, decide, well, okay, he's the guy and we're going to pay him and keep him till Brady's ready to retire, or they're going to move him and go maybe with Brissett. I don't know. But here, I'm going to give you a little scenario. They're doing all this and they don't have Tom Brady, but they also don't have Rob Gronkowski. Could you imagine adding Rob Gronkowski in with Martellus Bennett? Tom Brady's going to have a field day with his, all these weapons. I mean, if everybody keeps playing like they're playing now, you know, I don't think you're going to see LeGarrette Blount stay at this pace. But if he does, you got LeGarrette Blount, you got a good running attack, you got, you know, a tight end in Martellus Bennett, who was, you know, one of the best, you know, among the top anyway in the NFC last year for the Bears. And now he's the second string to Gronkowski, who hasn't even played yet. My God, when Brady comes back, he's going to be like, oh, my Lord, this is, you know, this team could go all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, it's early, but everybody's playing really well in the absence of, you know, Tom Brady.
It really is. I guess, I don't know. For me, not necessarily terribly shocking. I'm not surprised that they're 2-0. I'm surprised that they're 2-0 and playing as well as they are. That's where I go with.
Well, I will say this. If you watched the first half, you probably thought the game was over because they were just killing the Dolphins. And, you know, Miami kind of got back into it. I think when Garoppolo went down, they kind of got inspired and it's like, oh, wow, we do have a chance. And, you know, then it didn't. It, you know, it just kind of went away. It didn't happen, but, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, from the other side of the ball, from Miami's side of the ball, you take out Garoppolo, you're bringing in a rookie quarterback who's seen no NFL action other than preseason. you know, it does kind of pump you up a little. But when it came right down to it, though, you know, the Patriots stopped them in the end. And it really wasn't even, you know, that nerve-wracking of a game. I mean, Miami had the ball, you know, driving at the end, but, you know, the Patriots still had a touchdown lead. You know, it wasn't like, you know, the world was going to end if they did score. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. All right. For a moment, let's entertain this long-term thinking for a second. And you being the long-time, long-term Patriots fan and follower that you are, let's entertain this one for a minute here. Garoppolo, as you point out, next year would be his last year on his rookie contract. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Now, what's New England's plan? Do they let him play the final year on that rookie contract, or do they try to extend him either prior to the season or during the season? Or do they just leave it alone until that contract comes close to expiration and they talk to him at that point? What do you think?
Well, there could be another angle that you didn't even bring up, and that's trade him. You know, they could trade him. If they can get, you know, solid value for him, you know, is another team looking at it. See, it all got to depend what they feel, you know, long-term. Can he be the next franchise quarterback? And if they believe that, I think they got to start, you know, looking at extending the contract. That's the way I would, you know, I would go if they think he's the guy. You know what I'm saying? I obviously nothing set in stone. I got a feeling that there's kind of a wink nod deal in place for Josh McDaniel to take over for Tom Brady or Bill Belichick when Bill Belichick does decide to hang it up, which will probably coincide with Brady. So, you know, I got to think he's got to be heavily involved in, you know, some of these future decisions. So, you know, if they think he is the guy, you know, then you got to really consider, you know, start looking at, you know, tying him up. And the better he plays, if he does come back and say he plays week 4, I don't know how bad a shoulder is. You know, the Patriots, they don't tell anybody anything, but right. They will have, you know, basically he'll have 2 weeks if you count, you know, this week, which is going to be, you know, clearly it's going to be Brissett unless, you know, I don't think you're going to see Garoppolo. So, you know, if Garoppolo does come back and play the following week, you know, then, you know, he'll just have another week to either look good or, you know, not. It just depends how, you know, I don't know how bad his shoulder is. So, you know, he certainly didn't do himself any harm playing the first 2 games. He looked really good. I mean, and they beat a solid Arizona team, you know, week 1.
Yes, they did.
I mean, I'm not jumping up and down about beating the Dolphins other than the fact it's a division game and
I hate
the Dolphins.
Game. Well, sure.
But I don't think they're a good team. I think, as you pointed out, they're going to be cellar dwellers for the, you know, pretty much the whole season. So, yeah, it's hard to get excited when you beat a team that you know is going to be bad. But it is still, yeah, as you said, it is still a division game. So, you know, that's always good, you know.
Let me go to this, though. And I guess maybe for a moment, put your fan hat on for a minute. Because mm-hmm. let me go there. Let me get your thinking on this. You almost addressed one of the questions that I had as we went into this Garoppolo conversation. You almost addressed it. And that is, first of all, let me ask you this. Would you... And maybe you'll come back and say, well, I haven't seen enough. I don't know. Maybe you have. What would you like the Patriots to do with Garoppolo? Do you see him as a long-term potential replacement for Brady if Brady were to, say, step away in the next, I don't know, 2 seasons, 3 seasons?
Probably 2, I would say.
I would too.
Honestly, I'm not sure. Here's the problem I think you're going to have. No matter who it is that follows Brady, it's always tough to follow, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback. We've seen this, you know, before for other teams. You know, Denver's still kind of, you know, they had Peyton for a few years, but they're still trying to, you know, live in the shadow of Elway, and Miami hasn't found the next Dan Marino, you know, that kind of thing. Is Garoppolo the guy? He could be, but, you know, we did just draft Brissett with a third round pick. And if Garoppolo has any kind of market value next year where you can get yourself one or God forbid, maybe two first round picks out of a team desperate for a starting quarterback, I don't know that that's not a deal you make. You know what I mean? You got to look at the whole picture of things. If you think Brissett could be the guy, you know, as an organization, you know, then you and Garoppolo has value, because Brady's certainly not going to leave after this year. He's probably got two more. You know what I'm saying? So if he's got two seasons left, maybe three, if he does stay healthy and doesn't get hurt, you know, are you going to have Garoppolo sitting there going into his sixth season, you know, and still not starting? In other words, it could almost just be a factor of time. You know, I mean, a lot of people talk about Aaron Rodgers, how he sat 4 years behind Brett Favre, you know, right, and he looks really good now. Okay, well, this is Garoppolo's third year. Next year will be four. And then if Brady, say, he does happen to play three more, that would be six. Do you really think, you know, if he is a franchise-level quarterback, is that a good thing to have Garoppolo just sitting there for that much time? Mm-hmm. Is he going to be happy? They won't be able to pay him.
I was going to say, with the agents, know, with his own agents, yeah, encourage that. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, he's going to be paid. He's going to get paid, you know, one way or the other, you know, either next year or the year after. I mean, if he gets traded, I would assume that would include a new contract with whoever, you know, trades for him, for sure. I mean, if you're going to invest a first round or two pick in it, you're going to lock him up.
Let me ask you this. I mean, from what you've seen, and again, maybe you come back to me and say, well, I haven't seen enough yet. Do you think he's a franchise quarterback for a team? And it may not be the New England Patriots.
He can play. He can play in the NFL, absolutely. I think if you look at the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, he certainly has the tools. I mean, he looks good. He doesn't make bad decisions in what we've seen. Granted, it's a limited view of what we've seen. But what we've seen so far, you know, looks a lot better than some of the starting quarterbacks out there. I mean, look at Cleveland and Washington and, you know, Miami, some of these teams we're talking about as being horrible. I mean, Drew Brees is still a decent quarterback, but he's getting up there in age. Do I think Garoppolo can be a starter and be successful? Yes. Could he be, you know, a Joe Flacco-level quarterback? Absolutely. You know, as a matter of fact, he doesn't seem to make the dumb interceptions that Flacco makes from time to time, at least so far, you know, in the limited bit we've seen him. So, you know, yeah, I think he could be. I think he will be. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to end up being an NFL starter, whether it's with New England or somebody else, and have some success. Maybe even have total success. Maybe
That's
win a Super Bowl. I don't know.
You know, and I hope it happens for him. I really do, because I like the kid, and I did
he
when
looks,
he was in college.
You know what? He doesn't look that much different than Tom Brady on the field.
He really doesn't. He really doesn't.
We were watching that game against Arizona, and they were comparing his throwing motion to Brady. I'm like, okay, this is a little ridiculous, right? We're only doing this because it's Brady's backup, but he really doesn't. I mean, size-wise, they're almost the same. Stature,
yep.
You know what I mean? Command on the field. I mean, he looks, you know, a lot like a starting quarterback in the NFL. Let's put it that way. And,
Brandon,
you know,
when I said that, you know, he was firing that ball, from what I saw of that game, he was firing that ball, you know, around that field in the first half of that game, with the precision of Tom Brady. You know, I wasn't exaggerating. There were times it looked like Tom Brady.
Yep.
It really did. It was, albeit he is a little bit more, I guess, a little bit more mobile. Than Brady. He seems to slide a little bit different around the pocket. But when he's firing the ball, as you pointed out, he looks like Tom Brady. He stands back there and he fires the ball like Tom Brady. One other real quick question, though, for you. with regard to this Garoppolo situation before we get off of it. It's been generally kind of thought here, anyhow, at Frat House Sports, that, you know, when Tom Brady says, okay, that's it for me, farewell tour coming in, I don't know, 2018, that Belichick might go with him.
Yep, I think that's absolutely the case.
Would having a Brady-like Garoppolo there make Belichick think differently?
Possibly. Here's the thing. Belichick's what? He's got to be close to 70. He's been coaching for a long time. He was the defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells when the Giants won their two Super Bowls, and that was in the 80s. So, I mean, you know, he's been around. He's been the Patriots coach, I think, since 1999. He's been in, you know, in New England. So, I mean, he's been coaching, you know, got to be close to, you know, 30 or 40 years. You know, so I got to think at some point he's going to want to go retire and spend time on that boat that he has that he posts pictures of from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
When you do see a rare, you know, personal picture of Bill Belichick floating around.
Bill Belichick.
I don't know.
Bill Belichick
I've personally thought that depending on when Brady goes and how, you know, Belichick feels that maybe he would stay for a year after just to try to help transition things. But, you know, if there is some kind of in place deal for, you know, Josh McDaniels to say take over for him, well, then maybe not. You know, it may become a deal like we saw in Tampa where they were worried they were going to lose their coordinator and they kind of shoved their head coach out the door, you mm-hmm. know, with Lovie Smith. Now, I don't think Bill Belichick's getting shoved out any door.
Nope.
You know, I just don't see that happening. And maybe Josh McDaniels, you know, gets an offer in the offseason from a team that intrigues him and he decides to go. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. It seemed awful weird last season when all of a sudden Josh McDaniels stopped taking interviews. You know what I mean? That made me go,
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you. And you did bring that up on numerous occasions.
I'm still, we'll see. You know, obviously things are going to change from year to year. But, you know, if you like New England, you like the town, you like to live there, you like the area, you know, is 2 years, two or three years too hard of a thing to do as an offensive coordinator if you know you're going to be the next guy? You know what I mean? I think you could live with that. You make decent money as an OC in the NFL. I mean, I think most OCs are making, you know, $2 million plus at this point. And, you know, any of them that are worth a salt, like McDaniel certainly is one of them. So, you know, I got to think he's, if that's what he wants, I mean, he's still a young coach, Josh McDaniel. So, you know, he could, in theory, envision himself being in New England for 30 years like Belichick. You know, yeah, well, maybe. Not 30, but getting close to 20 anyway. I don't know. It's going to see. We'll have to see. Is Garoppolo, you know, the whole thing, you know, the whole thing's going to determine. See, I think with Garoppolo, unless Brady's ready to call it quits, you know, and say the end of next season, which would be the end of 17, you know, I got to think your shelf life on Garoppolo is going to run out because you're not going to be able to pay him to keep him, especially the way he's played this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because when his contract gets negotiated, he's going to get negotiated and say, hey, well, look at what we've done. You know, we can go and be a starter here and get X amount of dollars. You want us to sit here as a backup, though? Well, that ain't going to happen. The Patriots won't be able to invest that kind of money in him as a backup. So they're going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. That's why I feel, you know, unless they're sure, you know, he's the guy and they know when Tom's thinking about saying I'm done. I kind of don't see Garoppolo being here next year. I think he gets traded. And I think there'll be a market for him. I really do.
Oh, I do too. So you think
I think a first round, a first and a second, a first and a first in two.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
I think that's absolutely conceivable the way he's played.
There's no doubt about it, Brandon. I mean, you don't need anything more than to look at the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles got a first-round draft pick for Sam Bradford, for God's sake.
Right.
So, I mean, you're going to get something for Jimmy Garoppolo. There is no doubt about it in the first round territory. There is no doubt about it. So
I'm thinking you might even see two. You know,
you could, you get the because right, you know what you
get
got,
two
you
teams know, bidding against each other. Look out.
Well, yeah, and you know what you got? You know what you got with Garoppolo? Here's what you got. You got a 3-year quarterback who's been around the NFL. He's
yep.
been on a team and he's seen playing time. This is not, you're not rolling a die here like you do in the draft. You're almost better off going with Garoppolo than you would be going after the draft. I'm going to be perfectly blunt with you. I mean, a Cleveland Browns would do themselves very well to be in the mix. You know, a team that really needs a quarterback. Cleveland Browns, Chicago Bears. Those would be the teams that, you know, should be looking at. I mean, hey, you know, New Orleans Saints. You know, you brought up Drew Brees. I think before Tom Brady retires, Drew Brees is going to retire. That's my personal opinion. So,
but Brees is a few years younger than Brady, but we'll see.
But,
I think Brees is only like 35 or 36, but he's
talking,
small and he's, yeah.
Talking age, Bill Belichick just turned 64 in April.
A little younger than I thought.
Yeah, just turned, well, he does look a little bit older. He carries himself a little older, too.
Mm-hmm. And you know he's been around for a long time in the NFL.
Well, and listen, you got to know he likes that old man food like your father and I. But yeah, 64 in April. So, all right, let's jump over real quick. Take a look at this Monday night game from last night. And the only reason it really is on the list is because of the performance of Carson Wentz, which when you look at the box score, doesn't say much to you. You really had to see the game. Carson Wentz's stats, 21 of 34, 190 yards, one touchdown, no interception, 86.6 QB rating. But as I pointed out, Brandon, that doesn't show what Carson Wentz so far in the first 2 weeks, you have to see him. You can't look at the box score and make a determination. There are times you can look at a box score and you can figure out exactly where that game went and what was going on. A perfect example, the LA Rams and Seattle Seahawks from this past week. You don't have to watch that game to know what the hell went on in that game, okay? You can't judge Carson Wentz by the stats for the first 2 weeks. You have to actually see the game. Carson Wentz is dynamic. We talked about it a little bit on the front end. You know, give me your overall impression right now of this Philadelphia Eagles team. I was talking a little bit about taking them out of the equation. We were talking about comparisons of the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. Are the Philadelphia Eagles a contending team in the NFC East right now?
I think if they keep playing the way they are. I mean, you were talking about Carson Wentz's line, you know, 21 of 34 for 190 and one touchdown. Could have very easily have been 23 of 34 for like 20 and three touchdowns, because he threw two passes to two different receivers that were perfect on their hands, and they just flat out dropped them. That should have been long touchdown passes. You know, so that deceiving line wouldn't have been so deceiving had those two balls not been dropped, or even one of them. Even one of those balls would have put them in the mid, you know, 250 range with two touchdowns, and that certainly would have made that line, you know, his line more impressive from a stat point of view. You know, you want to compare them to the rest of the East. I think the Eagles, right now, the Eagles look like a better team than the Giants to me. Dallas, who knows? if you know, it's a lot's going to depend on how they go. Washington looks terrible. Absolutely, so far looks terrible. So unless we see some dramatic changes, yes, the Eagles are going to be a contender in the East. They may be the team to beat right now. As of right now, we'll see how things go next week. I mean, they play Pittsburgh. That'll be a test. That's going to be a test at all. I mean, even if you don't, you know, consider even if they don't win the game, you can consider it a passing grade if they look respectable against Pittsburgh. Is that where the game is? It is in Pittsburgh, correct?
No, it's in Philly, actually.
Oh, it is in Philly. Okay. Well, even so, you know, even so, the Eagles can lose the game and still look good in doing it. In other words, you know, they don't get blown out. They don't look like they got beat in, like, you know, multiple aspects of the game. I think there's, you know, this game's a good test, and they don't have to necessarily win the game to pass the test. You know,
and you know what's interesting about that observation? Yeah, what's interesting about that observation, Brandon, is, again, and this goes to the eye test. And you know, I couch my observations and my enthusiasm a little bit here, because I run the risk of sounding like a homer, and I'm trying not to, but you're absolutely right. They can lose that game. Everybody can sit around and talk about them being contenders for the NFC East this very season because of one thing and one thing only, the eye test. And when you take a look down through the rest of the schedule, they're after the fact, you know, the Eagles are on a very early bye in week 4. They come back, they play the Detroit Lions, who have looked really, really horrible so far. Then they're going to get to the Redskins, who we pointed out is you know, probably might be the worst team in the NFC East. You know, you've got two games right there coming back off the bye that could put you right back in there, even if they lose next week. So this is not and really all you're basing it on, as I pointed out, is the eye test. That's it. Don't look at the box scores. You got to watch the game. When you watch a game, that's when you come away going, holy smokes, this kid's something different. And I'm not even saying special, just different.
That game last night when you were watching it, you never thought the Bears had a chance to win. Even when it was still early on.
Oh, I disagree.
Oh, no. They had a lot of field goals early on, and it was like 9-7. And at that point, I knew the Eagles got this game. There was no doubt they were a better team than the Bears at that point. And they did start scoring some touchdowns. So
that defense came out, Brandon. Was that impressive or what? The way that they just manhandled Jay Cutler and just kept pushing him back. That was on the first, that was on the very first drive, because if I'm not mistaken, the Eagles kicked the ball off, and the Bears had the ball to start the game, and that defense was absolutely relentless. Then when the offense came out and took over, one of the things that I tweeted out, which blew me away, I couldn't get over how fast paced the Eagles put that first draft, drive together. That first drive was ridiculously quick. I mean, they're just – he was working no huddle. I mean, it reminded me – believe it or not, I tweeted it out. I said, is this Doug Peterson, or are we looking at a version of Chip Kelly from 2013? Because that's what it looked like. I couldn't get over how all of a sudden they went to this no huddle, really quick, up to the line, you know, moving the ball on the Eagles' first drive. And he did it very, very effectively.
Yep.
One of the things that was pointed out today was short passes. Carson Wentz's average throw, 5.6 yards. Now, as you pointed out, that could have been substantially higher. That could have been substantially higher had you seen those two other passes, the two that we're talking about in particular, the one to Jordan Matthews and the one to Aguilar, and there was another one. There was a third one, as you pointed out. Had those been caught, and they were perfectly thrown,
Yep.
Well, that number would have gone up. So I think that the average is a little bit deceptive. But it was you got to watch this team. You cannot judge this team by the box score. I thought that one thing that I thought was I thought they used Darren Sproles way too much and put him in bad spots. Excuse me, that was one observation. And two, Brandon, they got to do something. The Eagles have got to do something about the penalties. Penalties were killing them last night. Particularly in the first half. And that's where I was getting nervous. You're saying you weren't nervous, but that's where
nope.
I was getting nervous, was in the first half, and that's when you were seeing a lot
Carson
of the
Wentz looked,
penalties.
He looked in control. You know, he looked like an NFL starting quarterback. He was in control of that game. He did not look frazzled. He was not making stupid decisions. They were, you know, controlling the ball for sure. You know what I mean? There was nothing about that performance last night that would scare me if I was a quote-unquote Eagles fan. I thought they looked very good all the way around.
Well, he looked like
the penalties can be cleaned up, too.
Well, I hope so. He looked like a veteran quarterback. That's the thing that's been blowing me away. And I got to be honest, I was not in favor of what the Philadelphia Eagles did. I was not in favor of trading up to the number two spot. And I was not in favor of getting Carson Wentz. Who did I want? I wanted Dak Prescott. That's who I wanted. But I got to be honest. 2 weeks, and it's early yet, folks. 2 weeks. Been pretty impressive. You got to watch this kid to see it. Real quick.
Yep.
Oh, real quick while I'm mentioning it before we get out of here. And he has been mentioned across the nation. President Obama, right here.
I know I'm not the first person from the White House to come to Philly this week. Some of you may have seen Joe Biden at the Eagles game. He told me, Barack, you got to get on the Wentz wagon. Said we got a new quarterback. We got hope in Philly. And I had to explain, Joe, I am a Bears fan. And we play Philly next Monday night. So I got to stick with my team, but I am going to go to Philly and scout out what all the fuss is about.
That was very, very cool. That was very funny.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. You got to see the video of it. Because
I actually
hear
I saw that.
Oh, you saw that? When the boos come raining down, he turns around. He turns around and gives the crowd a bad look. Because he says he's a Bears fan, which I thought was absolutely hysterical and right to point. Very good. So everybody's talking about the Wentz wagon. There you go. All right, Eddie, I got to wrap it up here. Thank you very much, Brandon, jumping in here on your vacation, and hopefully we get you in for a little bit on Thursday night as well on our Frat House Sports Show, at least for your picks. So hopefully we get you there.
My tentative plan is to try to get in for that, you know, somewhere between that 8, you know, 10, 8, 20 mark, somewhere in there when we start that stuff, hopefully.
You got it. I'll let you know what the show's looking like. In the meantime, look there, folks. I already brought it up. Frat House Sports Show. You want to be here on Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Number 262 coming to you on Thursday night. So be here for that one. Be here on Saturday afternoon for 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. And then Sunday morning, Chase Race number 2 coming at you. Oh, man, it got interesting and fun last week. Chase Race number 2 coming at you. And we will be getting ready for New Hampshire as we'll be talking everything NASCAR on our Race Trim Motorsports Hour. All right, there you go. In the meantime, you know what you got to do. Get out there and enjoy your sports.